What's up, Matt?
Not too much.
We're at the CMPX show.
Yes, we are.
2024. Unlike a lot of the other shows, we're actually going to focus on the P of CMPX on this show.
Perfect. That's the way it should be.
I've been walking around. There's been a lot of HVAC, a lot of mechanical, which is great. Trust me, I love the mechanical. I love all the trades, right? Even the painters. But I do, like, I want to focus on plumbing because that's what you do, right?
Yep, that's what I
do. How many years you been doing it now, Matt?
6 years, give or take.
I know Botello, another Botello.
Which one?
Well, he's Portuguese, from San Miguel.
Me too.
So I'm wondering if he's related. John Botello.
Is he passed away now?
No, it's been a few years since I've spoken to him, but he used to be in the film business. I think he was retired, but that's how, you know, you and I get along because I know the name. That's how. And you're Portuguese, and I know the name. That's the a fee to entry. Simple as that, man.
Yeah, yeah. So there is a John Botello, my Uncle John. He's passed away now, but he was a big name in Cambridge. He owned a paving business and a concrete business. And, yeah, so most of my whole family is concrete.
Okay.
And I'm kind of the first one to step out of that and become a plumber.
So what up with that? Why did you go into plumbing?
I did concrete, like, my entire life. You know, like, so my dad owned a business called Concrete Impressions. Since I was really little, and I grew up around it, always helped.
So did you do some of the drain work as well, too, during concrete? No.
No, we just
the concrete pouring and then finishing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So we did, like, a lot of, like, residential stuff, like winding bullnose staircases, exposed aggregate, stamped.
Yeah.
And I did like it, but then my wife got pregnant with our first kid, and then everyone, like my Uncle Manny, my cousin Brian, everyone was like, hey, you should do something better, man. You know, like, you want to have a back when you're 50. It's hard work, man.
No, I agree with you. Like, concrete's hard work, but also you went to plumbing, which depends on what level of plumbing you're going into. It's also taxing on your body as well. You know what I'm saying?
Totally, like, yeah. It is. But I just love the fact that I'm constantly using my brain with plumbing, you know, like, where, like, concrete, you're using your brain a lot. There's a lot of, like, there's some somewhat intricate carpentry when it comes to frame, you know, forming steps and stuff like that. But, like, with plumbing, it's a constant challenge, which I really love, you know, and there's not as much grunt work. It's just, it's
so share the information that, so it's Botello Plumbing, right? But what's the handle on the IG?
Botello the Plumber on Instagram, TikTok.
Yeah. And then just for the white people, how do you spell Botello?
Botello. I always grew up, like, all my teachers.
We're European. I don't consider myself white. It's just as simple as that,
right? That's right,
so,
man. Yeah.
They won't know how to spell Botello. They'll spell it. You know exactly how they're going to spell it.
They're going to say bottle ho. That's
exactly
how it always was, man.
So that's why I just want to make it sure. And then email to get a hold of you. Obviously, you're always looking for work.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just matt.botello@hotmail.com. Just first name dot my last name at hotmail.com for now.
All right, so let's backtrack now. Concrete in the family, concrete in the blood. Then all of a sudden you decide plumbing. Why did you choose plumbing? Why was the plumbing on the option there? Out of all of them, could have been HVAC, could have been electrical, could have been anybody else.
Yeah, it really could have been anything. But I just feel like being around all these people in my family that own businesses and came from Portugal with nothing and became successful here, it's like anything. Once you've done it, you know a way to tell somebody else how to do it better because you've been through it, right?
Yeah.
So they were kind of like, you know what? Like, plumbing, the options are endless for you, right? You want to be an electrician, you put a wire in, it's good for like 100 years, right? Like, with plumbing, there's service calls, there's renos, like, there's so much to be done, and the opportunities are endless. And with concrete, it's like, in Canada here, you're working, whatever, 6-7 months out of the year, and then you can maybe do foundations in the winter, but that sucks. Who wants to do that? Basement pours, right?
Yeah.
Like, you want to do something that you can do all year round, full tilt, you know? Like, I always thought, too, I'm like, why did they come to Cambridge, Ontario? Why didn't they go to, like, California where they could pour concrete all year round from Portugal, you know?
But Canada, different times back then. Not the way it is now.
Yeah.
That's a different story. But when you first got into plumbing, did you second-guess yourself leaving concrete? Because obviously you were being tested at the beginning, right? I don't know exactly the specifics, but you could share your route and how you got into it and the training and who basically took you under their wing and then went from there. I'm sure there was moments of second guessing, no?
Oh, 100%. Like, I didn't know if I was making the right decision at the time. I got in with a company, and, you know, you're kind of just at that point when you're so green, you're a product of wherever you get put, You know, in those early formative years of your apprenticeship, it could either make or break an apprentice.
Yep.
And, you know, you do have to be, like, mentally tough, right? And I feel like I already had that from concrete. Like, my family didn't take it easy on me.
I can imagine.
Whatsoever,
yeah.
Right? So I was able to push through that part. And with that, like, then came the love, right? I feel like with anything, like, I felt like I was needing to prove myself, and you buy your freedom with knowledge, you know? Like, as soon as you get to a point where you don't need to be babysat on a job and you can be left to do things, or you can use your own brain, you don't need to use your journeyman's brain, it's, you're now, you've bought in some freedom for yourself. People will take it a little easier on you. And then with that, I felt like that's where the love came in for my love of plumbing. And I'm truly so passionate about plumbing. I'm so glad that I found it. I couldn't picture myself doing anything else on this planet. Like, if I were to have a choice to do anything, I'd be like, I want to be a plumber.
You got like an interesting ride, because the thing is, you came in seven years ago into plumbing.
Yeah.
So you're kind of coming in when the technology is what it is right now. Like, it hasn't taken huge strides lately, but I would say from 20 years ago, it's taken huge strides. Like, the landscape of plumbing, the trade and the material and everything that's going on is dramatically changed in that 2-decade period. But nowadays, it's kind of, we already see what it's about today, and it's only being slightly modified over a few years in the next, I would say, 5 to 10 years. And then you're probably going to see another dramatic change, right? Do you speak to the older trades and try to figure out, okay, where did you guys come from? Like, what was it like back in the day kind of thing?
Oh, anytime I get the chance to, I love doing that. Like,
but how many of those old guys are out there that are willing to actually even speak to you, dismissing you first and then speak to you?
Yeah, that's the hard part, is like those old boys, they grew up in a different generation where it was like, is that an apprentice speaking or is that the wind I hear? Like,
yeah,
they don't want to talk, they don't want to teach. They just want a punching bag.
Why are
to
you
abuse.
Bothering me
yeah,
at this
don't
moment?
Talk to me, man.
Are they changing? I'm hoping they're changing.
I don't know. I think I've met a lot of just stubborn old dudes, you know. Like, I haven't met really any that are super chill, but I feel like this is now our generation's turn to break that cycle. And when I'm older and my kids are coming in, hopefully, you know, that would be really nice if they decided to both be plumbers. But it, like, even just as I get older and younger guys are going to come in and they're going to be under my wing, I just going to treat them with respect, right? Like, it's just...
You think it'll become that way?
I think so.
Yeah?
I don't know, though. It's hard because...
Well,
because
you can
forever.
Argue, like, listen, there's a bunch of things that we could talk about. And, like, labor shortage is always at the top of the list when I'm doing my show. That's always coming up. The whole climate crisis crap that was being sold in the educational section there was complete horseshit. I was like, you guys can keep on talking about that. Doesn't matter if a government signs a document and says we are in a crisis. It doesn't mean that it's actually happening. So, like, you can talk about that shit as well, too. But the problem is that I don't think that we are going to become the same tradespeople that we are today. When I'm talking about the old cats of yesterday, I don't think we're going to become those same ones. I think we're going to be a lot more welcoming to new people coming in because we don't have so many of them coming in. So we're going to have to kind of step back and check our egos and go, you know what? I got to train this person. There's at least a seed of knowledge in this kid that I know that I could probably grow out of, right? And so you won't dismiss them as much.
Yeah, and I think, like, it's just got to be seen different, you know? I feel like in the older generation, these older guys, they see it as the apprenticeship in and of itself isn't enough trials and tribulations for this kid to become a man.
I need to, in turn, just
beat the shit out of him every day, like, morally, like, you know what I mean? Like, they
got to go through the rough spots on the site, and I think the on the site is important, and it's just like, you could be sensitive about it and be upset about it, but you could also just understand what you learned from that at that moment. We always make mistakes on site. Doesn't matter who you are. I don't care what trades piece. I don't care what age you are. I don't care if it's your first or last day. You're still making mistakes as much as you're making rewards.
Yeah.
So, but we take it. We take it and we just move on to the next one. We learn that lesson. We move on to the next one. It's as simple as that. These younger trades, I guess, they're getting more of a thought process. Is like, I don't think this is good for me. I don't think this is right for me. I don't think I want to do this. They start looking at all the negative possibilities associated with that so-called failure. It's not a failure, man. It's a lesson. Life.
Totally.
Lesson. Period. Just accept it and take what you learn from it.
Yeah.
Move on, right?
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, there's got to be a level of that as well, because it should somewhat fall on that tradesman to stick with it and go through those hard times and those trials and tribulations. And, like, if you're too weak to to do it, then maybe this isn't for you, right? Like, there's got to be a level of accountability. You got to push through and be able to know, like, I'm making the right decision, and this is going to benefit me in the long run. I'm going to put up with this. I'm going to get it done. And then, and the ones that do, they have that license. They have those skills that nobody can take away from them, right? So, I don't know. Like, it's not going to be for everybody. Not everyone can go through and do the things that we do and wake up as early as we do and work as hard as we do and as much as we do. And it's tough, you know, like.
But. There's two questions, Matt. Are the younger trades getting in, getting out just as fast? And are the younger trades getting in interested in starting their own shop just as fast? Because I think that they're getting out too much. Government never talks about the numbers of people getting out of the trades. Mm-hmm. They never discuss that. They just discuss all these magical leaps of how many people are getting in, but they're not talking about how many people are staying. I want to know that number. And then the second one is, I think that they, like you said earlier, they have to have those bumps and bruises before they can decide, I think I can go on my own. Mm-hmm. But are you seeing something different?
Yeah, like, so for to answer your first question, I don't know those numbers either, because like you said, they're not releasing that type of data. And like with a plumbing apprenticeship or plumbing in general, people move companies a lot, right? So if I've seen a kid and he was working with me for 6 months, I might not ever see that kid again.
Really?
I don't know if he's left the trade or if he is just at a different company.
But you don't get wind from other employers like that, okay, so-and-so came to me and... I mean, I was talking to earlier somebody else I just bumped into, and he was telling me about someone that was poached, and all of a sudden he got wind, right? Because and he was like, okay, fine. So that person made that choice. It doesn't matter. He didn't hold anything against it. It's just like, okay, fine, he got poached. But eventually he didn't last all that long at the competition there. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a surprise. For he kind of, it helped him realize that he wasn't the right employee for his business.
Yeah.
Right? But you guys are not, like, you're not seeing. I just assume that someone's leaving yours for a dollar or whatever. They're going to go someplace else, and then it may not work out.
I'm sure that happens a ton, right? Especially as an apprentice, right? Like, the dollar is what is on most apprentices' mind, right? You're making low wages at the start, and it's a dollar here, a dollar there. It does add up, right? But yeah, you got to be able to see through that and make the right choices for the right choices, you know? Like, my mentor is Victor, you know Victor. And,
yeah.
You know, like, the thing is, like, I would much rather say I was working for Victor for less money than someone was going to offer me $2-3 an hour more. Most guys would just jump on that. They'd be like, oh, yeah, a couple bucks.
What was the value for you working for Victor? It wasn't a dollar value. It was the lessons that you were learning.
Oh, 100%. You surround yourself with an amazing plumber like him, a great tradesman, a great mentor, someone who has patience and invests in you and cares about you and wants to see you do well, like that can make you skyrocket. Like you could go from an apprentice who knows nothing to an apprentice who has some skills.
How did you find Victor?
We've known each other for a really, really long time. Okay. Our families are intertwined and all that kind of stuff, right? So then, he took me under his wing and... Yeah, the rest is from there.
But, I mean, your own business, what's the turnaround that you're seeing? Because you have to find people. You have to grow. You have to network. You have to subcontract. You have to, like...
Yeah, I'm just a one-man show, right? So I haven't gotten to that point yet where I'm going to... Eventually, I will have to worry about those things and, you know, employees and turnaround of employees and all that kind of stuff.
But I know a few you guys are, like... probably the spectrum, like really young, just getting started, and also much older ones that are one-man shows.
Yeah.
And I know that the older guys have tried it. They've gone through the gambit, and they just have like, they're fed up, and so they stay at one man, and then when they need a third arm, they just ask somebody else that's on the site to help them out with the third arm, right? Mm-hmm. But you don't want to grow after that point? You don't want to look at an opportunity, or you just don't want to go through the headache of trying to
I would love to. I want to... do it like organically and not force it, you know. It is a scary jump, and the time will present itself, and it will be the right time eventually, and that's when the time will be, you know?
Where do you think you're going to find these future tradespeople? Like, where's the ideal spot to find them?
You know, I think nepotism's big, like, you know. Yeah. like my family with concrete, we all just kind of were bred into it, but just people, you know, like my younger cousin Deacon just started his co-op with Victor. And so he's 16 years old. He's getting in right away. And I think getting in that young with a guy like him, he's going to be an absolute unit by the time his apprenticeship's done, you know. So he's in grade 11 now. He's doing 6 months of co-op with him, and then he's going to do almost all year next year. By that time, once he's out of high school, he's already going to be like a second-year apprentice, right? So I think that's how you – I don't know. It's tough. You find good apprentices that way.
His circle of friends, I'm curious, are they all getting into the trades, or they got a circle of friends, or it's a bunch of different people, different career options?
I know he's got another buddy who's doing plumbing for a co-op. I'm not sure. I haven't talked to him too much about that, but I don't know. I hope that more kids are getting into the trades because it's super...
Well, according to the data, it's not.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
But nobody's really doing much about that, no. Right?
And I think that's, you know, there's that big argument on social media about influencers and... you know what I mean. But, like, I think that one thing that is good for is people seeing it and being like, damn, it makes it look cool to the younger generation. Oh, shit, that's cool. You know, a lot of people, when they think of plumbing, they just think of plungers or whatever. You know, I've heard that so many times, and it's like, you have no freaking clue. Like, I don't touch plungers. You know what I mean? I don't have a plunger on my truck.
I don't even own a plunger,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I don't own a plunger.
Because the pipes are working.
Yeah, they're working great. I put them in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is that the perception of the younger generation when they look at plumbing, they're getting into it? Is it all glitz and glam? They just think I'm going to be a plumbing influencer one day? Is that what it is?
I don't know. I hope not.
I'm slowly trying to catch the phrase because I'm going to be talking to Bob Baker next week again on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Because him and I...
He'll let you know.
Yeah, we always rap back and forth. And it's just like, Bob, I think it's just time that you and I have a conversation about something specific, right? And it's like, I agree with what a lot he's been saying, but I just... Like, the whole... I guess construction influencing game is turning into like an OnlyFans page. It's just ridiculous. It's like everybody's more focused on that celebrity status than they are actually on spinning the wrench, right? And I'm like, where have we lost our ways? Which is fine. Be that way if you want to be that way. That's great. But a tradesperson is one person, influencer is another person.
Totally.
It's two different things, right?
100%. Like when I post videos, it's about, like, I just want to show off what I did. I'm proud of what I do.
Yeah.
I love what I do. And I want to show it off. If you care to watch, then great. If not, then just keep scrolling. I don't care. Like, I just want to show it off. I think it's awesome. It's so fun. I think it's cool. That's what I'm in it for, you know, like posting my videos. And it's kind of cool, like, to be able to show people what you do. Like, customers, you're able to tell them, hey, just look me up on Instagram. And then they look at your stuff and they're like, oh, yeah, this guy knows what he's doing. Like,
you ever get clients that are like, nobody wants copper anymore?
Not really, like...
They don't want to pay for it.
No, you couldn't get a customer to agree to roughen an entire house in copper. It wouldn't make sense, right? But, like, if I'm on a service call and I'm replacing a piece of pipe that needs to be reworked or has a pinhole in it, if there's already copper existing there and I'm only going a couple feet, I'll redo it in copper. I'm not going to adapt from copper to Wurzbo for that little piece. I don't think we'll ever... There will ever be a time where we're not dealing with copper. There's so much of it.
It's always going to be there.
Yeah, in a service, like in service, it'll always be there. In new construction, no.
I had HD Plumbers on recently, and I asked them, which is prettier, properly done soldered copper or press? Which one is prettier looking? And it was a tough question to answer, right? Because he both have pros and cons, right? Like, that's the thing about it. But it depends on who's soldered the copper, right? Because press can be done a certain way. But I also find that there's a slight bit of laziness on the press sometimes when I'm disappointed when I don't see plumb and level on press. I'm like, that's the easiest part of that. Like, that's just, that shouldn't be a miss at that point.
Yeah, it's like, it does, the press gun will kind of pull you.
Yeah.
Like, it pulls you around. But if you know how to correct that with the next press, you can bring things back and you can make it look good, you know? I'm a sucker for a nice mechanical room. Everything's soldered up in copper.
Course,
you know, like that's beautiful. It's art. You know, either way, man, it depends on the plumber who put it in. Like any plumber, like a real, real good plumber, real good tradesman can make either or look just as sexy as
that's,
the other.
That's my mindset. When you start the job and you got a clean slate, it'll take you just as long to make it look like crap as it will make it look good.
Yeah, oh, totally.
You're taking a measurement, you're cutting a pipe, you're pressing a pipe, you're soldering a pipe. It's still the same, man.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. You're not talking about days of difference comparison, right? Mm-hmm. So why not just do it, make it look good at that point? Take some care of it and then just take a picture, become an influencer.
That's it. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, for me, press is like in service. Like if I can't get the water to stop, it's just so easy.
It's convenient.
So
it's got, totally, it's got its totally. Positives, right? 100%. Yeah. What do you think the industry is going to be like 5 years from now? You think it's going to be much dramatically different, Roy?
Not really. I can't see it being too much different, you know, like unless they come out with some crazy shit that we can't even think about right now. Like, you know, like
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I think it'll be pretty similar.
I think it's the pool. That's going to be the biggest challenge, right? It's just trying to figure out where are we going to get more people. And I've always said that we can't rely on the government. We can't rely on programs. We have to rely on each other to continuously be active in getting more people interested. But even more difficult is keeping them in the trades.
Yeah.
Right? I'm telling you, they're running out of the industry probably just as fast as they're coming into the industry. At that age group, especially if they're given, like you said earlier, the wrong mentor. I think having the wrong mentor is like you're shutting that door for good. That's the unfortunate part of it, man.
Mm-hmm. And I just, that's the thing. Like, if they can, these kids, like, they don't have anyone or to tell them that, it just stick it through, man. Or just make that hard decision and leave that company and look for a better company.
But where are they supposed to get this information from? They go back to, they refer back to social media and look all the glitz and glam then.
Yeah, and we're not allowed to be influencers, so you know what I mean?
It's not that you're not allowed. It's just like I wish that there would be a balance, almost like journalism,
totally.
Where back in the eight, like I'm old enough to know that back in the day, we always had to tell both sides of the story. You couldn't just tell one side of the story. So if you wanted to be an influencer, whatever trade it is, you show the good and you show the bad. And occasionally you show just the nastiness because that's reality. So then when these kids are looking for opportunities in the industry, they get the information correctly, all three sides of the story. So then they can go, you know what? I'm going in full tilt. I know what's about to happen and I know what the potential is, so I'm going to give it a go, but at least I'm being given the right information for the whole story, not just part of it.
I agree with you, and I know myself, like we're all human, we all screw stuff up. I've screwed stuff up. It's really 100%. Hard to put yourself on blast and post that knowing that you're going to look like an idiot, right? Like,
it's easy, man.
Yeah,
I used to do it all the time.
Did
I didn't care because I didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't care. You made a mistake. Like, there's no perfect GC out there. There's no perfect tradesperson out there. You make mistakes because we're learning from those mistakes. It's as simple as that, right? But I get it. The younger generation has a hard time because they're going to get attacked. You only get attacked if you reply.
True.
If you ignore, you don't get attacked. It's as simple as that. Someone calls you a name, I don't care. You move on. It's as simple as that, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's true.
Yeah. Would there be any other trade that you would tackle now? Nah, you ain't going to be a Sparky.
Not a chance, man. Never. Plumbing is where
Would you ever
at.
Get into mechanical? I've seen that. I've seen plumbers make that leap, yeah.
As for right now, I'm just so passionate about plumbing. I've talked to a lot of guys who are like really good plumbers and are super passionate about it and have told me that over the years it's kind of fizzled out for them, but I just honestly, I couldn't even see that happening for me. Like, I am so in love with what I do. I don't know. I couldn't picture
There isn't one way. Little thing about plumbing. Listen, man, in my early days when I was doing it, when I had to tie into clay and I heard the toilet being flushed on the second floor after I cut open the clay, I was like, I'm not being plumbing anymore, man. I'm not doing this.
I don't know, man. It's just
There's
a
nothing,
challenge.
Nothing
it's a
bad.
Challenge. It's fun, man. It's everything's fun. I just love it. There's not one thing I can think of.
Glue on your brand new workwear?
Nothing's brand new for more than a day.
those nasty sliver cuts when you're like cutting copper, and then all of a sudden the flux touches the cut. Not you enjoy that?
That kind of sucks. Yeah, or like when you're like on the threader for like weeks on end, and you have all those like dirty cuts all over your hand. There's threading. Oil
Speaking of which, why the hell did I see a threading machine going on in Milwaukee there? Like, are we not living in ProPress land here? What's going on? I understand that.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And speaking of that, which, why the hell is DeWalt here? DeWalt has no business being at the mechanical show. I don't understand that one, man.
If it ain't red, keep it in the shed,
I'm
buddy.
I'm just saying. There's no point in having DeWalt here.
Yeah, yeah.
They can try. You know what I mean? It's almost like racing against Usain Bolt, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
I think DeWalt is, when it comes to carpentry, they're better.
That's a different story.
Yeah.
Different trade.
Yeah, for sure.
I've always spoken, each trade has their color, and sometimes it's connected to your nationality, right? I can introduce you to a bunch of Eastern Europeans that are all Makita. That's just how it works, right? So you just got to accept that. So good luck on them doing that, but I don't think they're going to
So what color are you?
I'm a Bosch guy.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a Bosch guy from when Bosch was green.
Yeah.
Right, so it's like I've always been a Bosch guy.
Yeah, A lot of Bosch when I was doing concrete.
Yeah.
A lot of hammer, like all the...
And Bosch is mostly in concrete or masonry. That's where they're at, right?
Yeah, they're really good at it. So they got a lot of good tools.
So what would you tell a kid coming into the industry today? They're like bright eye star. Like, this is like, I want to be a tradesperson. You know what I mean? Like, almost like a uniform's being put on. Like, what would you tell that kid to shut him down? Like,
to get him out?
No, it's not. Like, what do you? I hope that you would tell them the truth. Yeah. Like, I really want everybody just to tell them the truth, because I think that they're smart enough to figure out what is bad, what is good, and what is ugly, and then they can make the right decision.
Well, I'm kind of in that position right now, like with my cousin Deacon getting in, and I've had a lot of conversations with him, and I do try to let him know like what it's about. But the thing is, man, with plumbing, it's almost all glamorous. It's the best, man. There's no better trade. But like
drilling a hole inside of a triple, like a triple LVL's right next to you, got no space to put the actual. Nah, that's glamorous.
It's all good, man.
I keep on coming up with ways that's not glamorous. Trust me, man. And it just catches a something, the knot from hell, and it kicks the gun. It's just like, that's not that glamorous, man. No.
Yeah, I don't know. I try to like tell them the exactly kind of how it goes and how it is, what to expect, and mostly like I just want to tell them like if you can get through this, then what's on the other side is. You have the world by the balls, man.
But Matt, like honestly, that's like daily tradesperson life.
Yeah.
Like that, you can tell them that. Like if you just get over this hump, you just learn these lessons, you move on. But next week there's a bunch of more lessons that you got to learn and move on, and it keeps on going from there.
But then hopefully by then you've come to a place where you welcome those lessons. And
but
you want
I know
them.
Exactly
you
what you're talking about. Trust me. I know exactly what you're talking about, but I'm just trying to figure out of the, you know, the ADHD generation that's coming up here where the math isn't working. This is the problem that I have, right? The math isn't working where you explain to these kids that you'll have no student debt and you'll have a job waiting for you with five figures that you can easily convert to six figures in a matter of years, not decades, in a matter of years. Mm-hmm. You'll basically have the opportunity to buy your own vehicle, right, which you can make it for work or have a pleasure vehicle whenever, and that's why you drive by the job sites and you see Benzes on the parking side and whatever. And then you also be really close to getting your own home and no student debt. So it's like the math isn't working when you talk to these kids. Like, so I don't know what else to tell these kids to make them understand that this is a viable option, man.
Yeah, I don't know either, really. Like, it's just they got to figure it out, man. Like, go work at an office and do whatever because everyone else is doing that, and then you'll be looking for a different avenue. And you see that video on Instagram where that guy's talking about there's going to be a time where people are saying on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram, you want to know the new hack to making money? Become a plumber.
Yeah.
But I think that's true. Eventually, that'll be the thing. Like, people are going to be like, oh, yeah, like, this is what you do. Like, and maybe that's where it'll turn around. I don't know. Like, all I know is what I can do. And when I see a kid or a kid's interested in talking about plumbing, I'm going to sit down and talk to him about plumbing, you know?
I remember I made an old school plumber friend of mine. He threw on like four extensions, because he wanted to go underneath and I didn't want a bulkhead. So I said, I need you to drill, right? And they're all 12 inch on center. They were tight, huh? So
sounds like hell.
He literally had to go 5 feet through all these, you know, four joists, right? And I was like, dude, I'm looking at your box here. There's like four extensions here. Let's use the extensions. That's why that like Milwaukee designed this shit. Let's just use this, right? And he was just grumpy as hell doing it. But he did it, and I didn't have to build a bulkhead, right? The pipe went right through. 2 9/16 drilled right through. Made him go through every single one. He hated it. Took a picture of it.
You tortured him.
Like, that's brutal.
But I didn't have to build a bulkhead, man. I just saw Sam the plumber. He did a post there, and he was showing me. I got to have a conversation with these engineers, man. It was LVL heaven. I don't know if it was a showroom for LVL or I don't understand this, man. Like, there was LVL everywhere, and he was having a challenge getting his pipe over there, man.
I'm not surprised. He deals with some, like, crazy high-end homes.
Yeah,
like,
and he's definitely going to figure out the best way to do it.
Oh, yeah.
But it'd be funny if I was on site with Sam, and I'd look at him going, I see extensions in your toolbox there, man. That pack out right there just says extensions on it. Start using those things, man.
Yeah, that's probably one thing that I could think of that's not going
to happen. Oh, so that's one thing.
Yeah, right there. That would be hell.
I always like asking you young guys, what's the exit plan? Because you guys don't really think about it that much.
Yeah.
And so, you got to think about it. I think the sooner you think about it, the better.
Yeah, like, I've got real young kids, you know, like my son's 4 and then I have a newborn as well, so.
And by the way, you were mentioning on the, like, the son was helping you solder.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Perfectly normal.
Yeah, he's
keep the torch away from the face.
He's a full grown man at 4 years old.
Yeah.
He's a better tradesman than 90% of grown men. It's true. And it's awesome and I love it. And I think that's why part of my exit plan for right now is like I really hope that hopefully my sons want to get in on this too, and then hopefully I can just pass the torch down.
What if they don't?
They don't, you know,
it ain't for everybody.
No, it's not, but yeah, they're more than welcome to do whatever they want. I'd always support
them. Be full
them.
Circle if they got into concrete.
Yeah, it'd be cool. That'd
Maybe
be
they sweet. Got into concrete first.
Yeah.
I don't know, because that's a good training. That's a proving ground.
Totally. Yeah. And I've said that, too. I'm like, maybe I'll send, like, you know, my son to go work with my cousin Brian for, like, a year.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, seriously. Just to get him, like, hardened, you know?
It's not a bad idea, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, if they don't end up wanting to do that, whatever. Like, I'll support them in anything they want to do. Yeah, and then from there,
you got regular people that are probably listening to this and like they're going, he's talking about a 4-year-old human being.
Yeah.
This is really weird. Why is he doing that? And then I keep thinking, well, hang on a sec. Why don't we pay attention to superstar athletes? Mm-hmm. At what age did their parents kick them into whatever they're going to try to get into? And yeah. Talking about some big players out there, right? So it's like I've always said, being a tradesperson is almost like the same thing as being a super athlete. So
I agree.
You might as well just throw them in early and just see if they actually are interested to begin with and see if they want to ask you questions and learn from you. Pick it up at that point, right?
Totally. And I think, too, it just has to do with my upbringing as well. Like, every single person in my family has always just been kind of bred to do concrete, right? Like, you just kind of toss right into it. And I think I just have those same hopes for my sons. But obviously, I would support them in any decision they make or whatever they want to do. But as for right now, they're so young. Like, I just have... That's just what I hope
So
for.
Are you going to wait, Matt, until they get old enough to come on board as employees, or are you going to start hiring employees before that time? Because you're still talking 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Technically speaking, you got another year or two, I guess. No, you got about 10 years before that kid can start working for you, right?
Yeah, well, I obviously, yeah, employees before then. I have this, like, vision in my head. I'm like, okay, so first year of their apprenticeship, they're going to be with dad, and then second year, maybe I'll send them to Victor for a year, and
then it's like, good that you're moving them around.
Yeah, like I want them to just get experience from everywhere, and I feel like maybe I might have a hard time being as hard on them as someone else might. You know,
that's
like,
why, or maybe not hard enough, and right, that's why you want to move them around, because then also they'll learn other tricks,
totally,
they'll learn
yeah.
other techniques and things. So it
for
might
sure.
be worth doing that.
Yeah, and then I'd like to, like, you know, eventually it circles back by the time they're, like, fourth or fifth year back with me. Then I can give them a van. They can go off, do their thing, you know. I don't know. I have these, you know, dreams, right? But who knows if any of that will come to fruition or if we'll see. They're so young.
What's the whole plumbing community like, man? You guys all, it was funny, at the start of today, because I was bumping into a few people, I was telling them that the mechanical trades in the top 3 players, right? So HVAC and plumbing and electrical. You guys are, you guys like to share. And that's what I noticed when we did the 500 event when you came by. You guys were all networking and sharing. And when I say sharing, you guys were actually sharing trade tips. You were sharing business tips. You were sharing all kinds of ways to help each other out in your business and in your skill set. And there are trades. I got my selection out there. And at the top of the list, I would say that don't share are trim carpenters, right? They just don't like revealing their stupid secrets, right? And I'm like, these secrets, you found them somewhere and someone else is going to find them from you one day, so you can hang on to that ring, you know, and move on. But you guys, as the mechanical sides, the top 3 leaders, you guys love to share, right? Is that how, do you like that part of it where you're connecting everybody? That's the influencing social part. That's really good.
Totally. I just, from being on Instagram, there's so many things I've picked up from other guys, or even like, I just love how, like, if you have a question about something and you know that that guy specializes in that certain area, you can reach out and be like, hey, man, I got a question for you and I need your thoughts on the matter, your expertise. And they're more than willing to share it with you. And I think that's so powerful. You know, I think we all know how much we can struggle on a job.
Yeah.
And I feel like we just don't want to see each other struggle.
Especially,
you know?
one man, one person, like, outfits, man. It's challenging. You got to make friends on site, right?
And I also feel, though, too, like, with social media, we're all spread out so far that I feel like maybe if we were all in the same town, all trying to bid over the same jobs, maybe it wouldn't be as, people wouldn't be as into sharing. But like, since people, I feel like most people would feel, okay, this guy lives on the other side of Canada, he's no threat to me. Like, I don't mind helping him out or talking to him about it. But I feel like it would be the other way around if everyone was all in the same
state, I mean,
you know?
Correct me if I'm wrong. You're not losing work to somebody else that's just as good as you. You're losing work because you've got a client who's decided to hire an inferior tradesperson who doesn't have a legitimate business, who's off a Kijiji kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. That's where you're losing the work too. So you're not losing it to your competition. So if you guys are networking and sharing, it's not like you got a job this week and then all of a sudden someone that's the same level as you or a little bit higher or a little bit lower got the job. No, you're dealing with a client that just wants a cheap price. So they're going to go to a different class of tradesperson at that point. I'm not even calling them tradespeople, right? Mm-hmm. They're just fly-by-nighters. So that you shouldn't be worried about someone sharing and also taking.
I'm not, and the thing is, when I say that, I'm not even saying by from experience that
I've
seen that, but I'm saying that I think that's why people are so open to sharing on social media, because I feel like if they were all in the same city, maybe it would be a little different. That's just something
I agree. I totally agree.
But yeah, I really do enjoy that it is so like open, and you're able to just, I've messaged so many people. I've seen them do something. I'm like, oh man, that's a smart ass idea. I love that. You know, like even Scott Martin, the way he tests his tubs and he puts a Dahl Quick Grip R19 so it shoots down into the tub. I'd never seen that. I'm like, man, I messaged him right away. I'm like, that is so smart. I'm stealing that. And he's like, yeah,
did he tell
buddy.
You where he got that from?
No, he never mentioned. But
ask him. I'm just curious,
he
right?
He probably made it up. He's a smart guy.
Yeah, he could have. Yeah,
he's
it's true.
A good plumber.
No, that's a very good point. Yeah, he could have made it up himself, right? That's what I liked. I miss those days where you're on site and you're the wheel's spinning, right? You can literally hear the hamster just spinning, and trying to figure out new ways of doing things. And then it's a pain in the ass the first time around because you're still trying to figure it out. It takes forever, not making any money, but then you figure it out, you learn it, and then you take it to the second one and you made money out of it.
Totally.
That's how it works, right?
Yeah, and we're all sharing it with each other, which is super cool.
Nothing else negative about the industry, man?
Not really, no. I think it's great.
Too happy-go-lucky, man. I could tell you a bunch of negative things about the industry.
Like what? Tell me.
Clients, man. I told you the amount of times I'll tell you that a client is the worst and best part of every part of a job. That's it. They can be either or. Jekyll and Hyde. That's just how it is, man. You have to just navigate those waters. It's like you punch the shark and you try to figure out, are they going to come back at me?
Yeah. The best is when you can like sense it beforehand and you can just get out of there, you know, like...
I know this is a Jedi mind trick like that, skills that not a lot of tradespeople have, and it's not in the toolbox. You can't find it in a pack out. You got to just experience it. That's the shitty thing, is that I just keep telling the younger generation, try to get as many little versions of those early so then you can start preparing yourself for the big one that's coming, that you'll be able to radar sensor it and then walk away and say, I'm sorry, this is not the right job for me. I don't want to work with you guys. Thank you very much and good luck.
Just, I think, too, trust your gut.
Yeah, that's important.
Just like if you think that a person's going to be a certain way, like just walk away.
That sense is going that way, right?
Because like, you know, like risk versus reward, right? Like if you have a feeling that they're going to put you through hell, what's a couple $100 you lost on not accepting that job? If you truly felt that way in your gut, just trust your gut, you know?
You a hot water guy or Insta? On demand or hot water tank guy?
Either or. I like them both. I think they're both good. Yeah.
I was looking at some tanks there. I was like, man, that's a good-looking tank.
Yeah. Who was making them?
I think it was a Rheem.
Yeah.
It was, like, taller than me.
Oh, yeah.
I just didn't even bother asking the price. I was like, I'm on the verge of just amount of hot water, right? That's the problem.
Yeah.
That if you, like, the tub is too big. So if the tub is too big and then you're emptying out the whole, then you got to wait until it gets replenished, right? So I already know the math because I know the tank that I have. So I already know how long it takes for that tank to recover. And so it's like there's that finish line. So you got to figure it out. And then I'm like, this tank here, there'd be no finish line. That tank will last, man. I could do like another one right away. But I can only imagine what the price of that is, right? I'm not an on-demand guy. I think everybody knows that. Everybody knows that I hate glass block. Everybody knows I hate shaker-style kitchen cabinets. Yeah. Everyone knows I hate heat pumps. I can't stand heat pumps, and I'll just keep on saying heat pumps.
Not a big fan either.
Fucking hate them. It's just simple as that, right? It's just anything the government pushes, I hate. Simple as that.
Totally, man. That's Yeah, those are usually the things you should be looking out for.
I need to find at least one more thing that you don't like about plumbing. One more thing. The glue. But the glue sometimes when it's on your skin, it's nice to peel off. Brings me back to grade school with Elmer's glue, right?
Yeah, it tastes good too. It's the forbidden yogurt. Lick it off your hands before it dries. Put some hair on your knuckles, you know?
What else?
Doing it in the cold sucks.
Soldering and then thinking you moved and it just nicked you. That's a bad part. No?
I don't feel pain, brother.
Flux. Tasting flux tastes like shit.
Yeah.
That sucks, man.
No, I think plumbing in the cold really sucks. That kind of puts a damper on my parade, you know? Motivation goes down. You know, when your hands are cold and, like, a wrench slips and you smack your hands, it's like...
That hurts.
There's nothing
that hurts.
That'll take the wind out of your sails quite like working in the cold, man.
And nobody's around and you want to cry.
Yeah.
And so you internally cry. You know what I mean? Because nobody saw that.
Yeah,
and if it's not on social media, nobody saw it.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't count.
Matt, it's been great. Oh, who's here? I don't know. We're just having a conversation, man. What was that?
Oh, just a buddy of mine, Danny. What's up, buddy?
Oh, hi, what's up? I think I got to... I don't even know. They gave me times and stuff. I'm not even paying attention to this shit, man.
No, I'm having too much fun. I don't even know how much time has elapsed.
No, we got like 10 minutes. We can shoot this shit. That's all. So why do you guys hate electricians so much, man? And why do electricians hate plumbers so much? What I've been told is because the electricians don't sweep up. That's the reason why you guys don't like them.
Yeah.
And electricians don't want to sweep up because they're lazy. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I just think, you know, we're the man's trade. You know, like this the manlier of the two. I don't know.
Digging ditches and running pipe and just laying gluing pipe. And soldering and crimping.
Friggin' right, baby. Yeah, I don't know. I don't hate electricians. A lot of my family members are electricians. I just tell them, like, good thing one of us in this family decided to be a man, you know? And then, that's it.
Here's a question for you, Matt.
Yeah.
Typically, where would you put a shower valve? If you don't, you have not met the husband or wife or the couple, you don't know how tall they are, where are you putting the shower valve? What measurement?
Okay. So, in just a shower, not a tub shower?
That's a good point. See, this is where I was going. Yeah. So let's say the grocery bill here is there's a shower valve, right? Thermostatic. Mm-hmm. There's a volume control times 3. There's a hand shower. There's a rain head.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's 4 body sprays. So you got 3 volume controls.
Yeah.
And so you've got that 1 hand shower. And you've got the 4 body sprays that are obviously on a balanced loop system. So where is the thermostatic valve going? And then where are the volume controls going? And where is the union for the hand shower going to go? I want numbers associated with that. And they could be imperial because this is construction in North America, not construction in Europe.
Yeah.
So where is the thermostatic valve going to go first?
So the thing is, with a shower valve with that many controls... not really something I get too much into, you know what I mean? So that would be a better question for somebody who's more well versed home, you know what I mean?
Where you park it at first? Like, where was the first thought that you would park it?
Like, just your body,
actual thermostatic valve.
On a tub shower?
On a tub shower. It's a good point, because that number changes by 2-3 inches.
Yeah, for sure. Like, if it's just a shower, probably right around my belly button. I feel like I'm kind of a medium height guy. If I haven't talked to the customer, I haven't seen the height of the guy and how small the girl is, probably put it around my belly button. It's kind of a good medium.
So what if she's 5'1" and he's 6'5"? Where's the shower head go? So these are all challenging questions when you want to talk
to. I've actually dealt with that before. And
I've dealt with it so many times.
It's going to be...
It's annoying as hell, man.
It's going to be the wife who decides, because she's going to say...
But it can't be too low that it's going to...
I can't reach it, you know?
Yeah.
She can't reach, like, even if it's a pull down, she can't reach it if it's too high. Where him, he's just going to have to suffer. Us men have to suffer, you know? It's going to more go in her favor, I think.
Or you kind of just look in the other direction of the room and you go, I could put a second shower here.
Yeah. Just
with
just
all
one,
those fixtures for him.
A hobbit shower over
and
here.
And that works
and
there.
Big shower.
Generally, I park around the 48-inch mark.
Yeah.
And then I work on a 48-inch mark, right? Mm-hmm. And then I generally park it, the unions at the same. I try to keep it all lined up. Because it kind of... when you have that much stuff going on, but today it's different. Because you're getting all these new companies that are offering all digital stuff. So you have one point of contact now, and then you just got the ports at that point.
Yeah.
So it's different now to do it. So the math doesn't ring the same way as it used to when I got first started 15 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And yeah, those are the things that you were talking about, like that have changed in the last 15 years. And just imagine what it'll be like another 15 years, right? Who knows? That'll be something for my sons to worry about when the time comes.
You know? Well, you got to kind of still, first off, I think that anybody that's listening that's a young kid that's getting started, you got to have a conversation with the homeowner to figure out what they want, right?
100%.
And even with the shower head, where it's going to come out of the wall, if it's not a rain head or what have you, like you have to have just a conversation. What do you guys like, right? There's math associated. I love that at the start of the show you brought up that there's more math involved in this, right? Because you have to actually calculate. There's a temperature difference. Once the water exits a shower head, it starts to fall off on the temperature, right, regarding how hot it is. So if you have it too far ahead or too high or whatever, and you're only putting like a 3-inch stub out of that shower head, then that water temperature is going to be completely different. You're probably going to have to crank it up a lot more to get more hot water coming out of it.
For sure, yeah. There's so many factors that come into plumbing. And like you said, like that's what I love about it. It's there shouldn't be a day that you don't learn something in plumbing. You know, there's no one that's a true master of this.
No,
you can't. And
each shower is custom.
And that's the thing. If you're a guy and you say I'm like the master, there's nothing I can learn about plumbing, then you're useless to plumbing. We don't need you.
People actually say that.
Oh yeah,
there's plumbers that actually said that.
Guys, man.
Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah, there's guys out there that think they're just like that's God's gift to it, you know?
That's like another idiot that wears overalls all the time and he says he's Canada's most trusted contractor. I don't understand how you can give yourself that title, man.
Who's that?
I just associated with the word Meaford, and you'll know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Right? So it's just like, I don't understand giving yourself this title. You should earn this title.
Totally,
and,
man.
And even when you earn it, you should be humble enough to just, no, don't worry about that. Yeah, I don't want to be, my name is so-and-so.
Yeah, you should be a student forever, you know? And that's what I strive to be. Like, I learn something every single day. And if I don't, I'm upset. And, guys like that, man, they're just, you become useless.
What's your favorite plumbing finish these days, man?
Plumbing?
Finish.
Like, color-wise?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm sick and tired of black.
Pretty sick and tired of black, too.
White subway tile, black finish plumbing fixtures.
But
I'm
sick
and tired of it.
Because it's so popular, that's, like, the easiest to find. You know, like if you're...
It wasn't
like,
always the case, eh?
No.
It was always a challenge to find that one in the beginning when everybody wanted it.
Mm-hmm. Now it's so out there. Like you go to Home Depot and you can find...
Black.
Yeah. You know, like, which is crazy. But yeah, I don't know. I just like anything that's kind of different, you know, like not black, I guess, or not chrome.
Like what? Like
I don't know. Like you see some golds here and there. It's kind of cool.
I'm liking the rose gold, but the problem is I'm not liking the price. It's like that hot water tank I saw. I don't want to even know the price, right? Because I know that rose gold is the most expensive finish.
Totally.
So I don't even want to know what that top tier price is, right? Like, I don't know. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. But yeah, I guess like clients are getting too heavy on black and just like, let it go, guys. Just like, and I guess they just jump on this train. Someone takes a risk, it gets out there on Pinterest and House, and it gets out there on social media, and then all of a sudden everybody jumps on this train and everybody does it. And then I get sick and tired of it at that point. Nobody wants to take a chance on trying something new.
Yeah, well, and I hope those trends just keep on cycling through because it's just more money for us. Hey, every time they want a new trend comes out, you need your plumber to come redo all your
plumbing. Well, it was refreshing to see some of the stuff coming out of IBS this year where I saw a lot of the new products totally taking styling cues from yesterday. Like, and when I say yesterday, I'm talking like 50s. Like, I'm seeing like toilet shapes from Kohler that were reminiscent from the 50s and 60s. Even colors, I started seeing, you know, those big laundry cast iron sinks as now kitchen sinks. Not even the apron sink, but just an actual big trough of a sink that's cast iron with the backsplash and everything like that. I'm like, that's old school stuff. That's like old school stuff, which is coming back now. And I like that kind of stuff. That makes it look really good.
Yeah, I would love to see it turn over to that way, too, because like I love like doing service in an old century home. Like, and you go in there and the toilet's freaking lime green or like pink or it's just so cool. I love that era of plumbing. Super, super cool. I'd like to see more finishes like that. I just don't know if it would look cheap, you know, because if you're trying to recreate looking old, it sometimes doesn't always look that good, you know.
Yeah,
you can't really mimic like something like that.
I can reference like the Volkswagen Beetle. Like, I mean, that looks like shit, a modern day version of that.
Yeah.
Right. I'm even borderline about the Camaro. It's a modern day version of that, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. But I agree. I'm on the same page. When you're going into some of these older homes, what's some of the stuff that you're finding in these walls, man? Like the way they, because I can only imagine that butchers have kind of hacked away at these projects over the years, mm-hmm. based on budget, based on skill set.
Yeah. So,
like, are you finding some interesting things?
Oh, I've seen some weird stuff. Like, yeah. I did a reno where I had to cut the stack, like, right in the basement and repipe. It was cast, then it was lead, and there was, like, this lead tee that went, it was a lead bend to a toilet, and they had cut that out. They had cut that out however many years ago, and all they did was hammer it shut and then just, like, put, like, I don't know, some caulking on it. Like, it was just
capped it closed?
They just hit it with a hammer.
Oh, so you mean they,
like,
just...
Yeah, like...
Really?
Kinda, it looked crazy. Like, it was, like, definitely, like, just some homeowner special, and I ripped that out. I don't know, like, I more find myself going into old homes and appreciating the work, you know? Like, I look at things, I'm like, man, that would have took so freaking long to do, you know? And I'm like, wow, that's so cool. I wish, like, sometimes I wish we kind of still did things that way. We
go
don't,
back to
but,
copper, man, but nobody's going to pay for copper.
You can't get them.
I still do copper when I get a chance to do it. I'll do it. I don't care. It takes longer. I'll get those cuts, and the flux gets in there. I'll get it. I understand that, but...
For sure.
It's expensive. And even during the funny years, like, the price of copper just went through the roof. It was insane what the length of a copper was. It was just like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's just... It's more the labor, man. Like, it... How much time it takes. It just... You can't... You can never get someone to...
I got an idea that I want to do for... Like, I'm itching to try something, and I'm on the fence. That's why I keep on asking about the soldering or the press, right? Mm-hmm. Because I could easily do it as a press, but I don't think it's going to be as pretty if I do it as soldering. But the problem with the soldering is that... You know how you get that soldering where it's like... It just magically wraps on its own without a drip. Like, you just dropped enough solder on it, right? And it just magically filled it and filled... I'd have to do that for every single one, and there's, like, dozens and dozens of joints that have to be done. So I know that it would just take years to solder it versus pro-pressing it, right? And
yeah.
But pro-press is not as pretty as soldering. I don't care how you do it, right?
Yeah. What good is quality this project, solder. Though? Like, is it going to hold water?
Or yeah.
Is it, oh, okay. Like, it's actually, like...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know, man. Like...
It's an aesthetic thing. It's an aesthetic and functional thing.
Right.
But, like, once I pull it off one day, then you'll understand where I'm coming from and where I was influenced by it. It wasn't social media. The reasoning behind it.
Yeah.
You'll totally understand it.
Well, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's in my head.
You got my attention.
It's in my head, man, but it's not out there
yet. I'm picturing this thing, and it, to me, I'm like, man, this sounds like a cool idea.
All right, Matt, I think we got to wrap it up. What time is it? Who's got the time?
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up.
I think there's another show at 3:30.
Right.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
And it's then you're at the Doll Booth as well, too, right?
Yeah, 903.
903? Yeah, yep. They first told me 410, and they told me 903, and then I had to change all the messages. I thought that doesn't matter. But I'll be there tomorrow, which is going to be fun. We're going to do a lot of shows there as well, too. But you're not coming by tomorrow, are you?
No, I'm not.
Just one day.
Yep, just one day.
It's a lot of work, man. These shows, I got a lot of respect to everybody that shows up in the exhibit here and they set up the booth. Trust me, I've been through this stuff. So it's like, it's a lot of work to come in and set it up. Then talk to everybody, have these conversations. So lots of respect for everybody that sets up at these trade shows and shares the information.
Totally.
Shares 100%. The information.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Manny, for having me on here.
No problem. You come back anytime. You come back in the studio anytime, man. It's always a blast to do it
there.
Yeah,
right? I'd love to do it there as well.
We'll totally have it, yeah.
Awesome.
Bring the little one in. That would be
That would be cool.
That would be good, huh?
Yeah. Brooks, you want to go? You want to go?
Totally. Like, seriously. Will we have to put a box on the seat? No. Like, is it in the barber's chair? The old school way? No.
Something like that. I don't know.
I'll tell
you. He would be sitting, and then, like, for 5 minutes, he might run around. He might want to sit on your lap, my lap, my
shoulders.
That's
fine. He can run around.
Yeah.
All the cables are taped down anyway.
Fun. That would be really cool.
Holy bring him and just ask his opinion about the industry. He's
totally.
Got a sense of it.
For sure.
He's probably
sure
formed
he
his own opinion, too, about other things, right?
Yeah. Let's get him in. It'd be really interesting to hear what he had to say, eh?
Thanks, Matt. Yeah,
right
all right,
on.
We're out here at CMPX.
Awesome. Thank you so much.